Welcome back to Good Morning Siouxland on KSCJ Radio. Brian Vakulskas with you, and I'm joined in studio, if you can believe that. This is rare, with a Tony-nominated playwright, lyricist, librettist, Bill Russell. Did I get all of those right?
Yeah.
I mean, those are all kind of the same thing, aren't they?
Well, book writer and lyricist are librettist together, yes.
All right. Well, Bill's in town as a special guest director at Lamb Arts Theater for his musical Pageant, which is running June 7th through the 22nd. And we'll talk about how you can get tickets and go over to do that. It's a spoof of beauty contests, all male cast playing beauty queens. Some of the audience members are the judges, and so you can attend several performances and see several different endings, right?
That's right, yes.
All right. Bill, you were a theater major at Morningside College here for a couple years.
2 years, yes.
And ended up moving on. But Pageant, we'll just talk about that at first. What can folks expect to see other than what I just said when they go there?
Well, Pageant is a beauty pageant. It's a totally on-stage event, and it features six regional winners: Miss Deep South, Miss West Coast, Miss Great Plains, Miss Industrial Northeast, Miss Bible Belt, and Miss Texas. And the pageant is sponsored by a cosmetics company called Glamourress. And all of the contestants are played by men. But we don't consider this a drag show. It's more cross-gendered acting artistry is what I think of it as, because these guys have to be really talented. They have to sing, dance, act, and hold stage like a stand-up comedian, because they're out there by themselves a lot. So it's very demanding on the performers, and not that there's anything wrong with drag, but it's just a different genre. Usually drag queens are commenting on playing a woman. Here we ask the guys to play these women, kooky though they are, as real women.
So you wrote the show and you're directing it?
I co-wrote the book and lyrics, yes. Oh,
okay. Now, that doesn't happen very often, that the director is also the writer, right?
Not that often, but I frequently direct my own shows. Not so much first productions of them, though I have done that, but the reason I don't want to do the original production is because if I have to think about rewrites, I don't want to have to worry about lights, you know? But once they've been produced, and I almost always love the original productions, it's great fun for me to go out and direct them with different artists interpreting the work.
Are you almost like a Little League parent sitting there yelling when things happen? I mean, that would be tough to watch your baby being done by somebody else.
Well, it can be, yes. It definitely can be. But I've had some great experiences, too, seeing.
You wrote this how long ago?
We started it over 30 years ago, and we thought it was out of date at the time, because pageants were not very popular in the mid-80s when we started writing it. There was a lot of feminist backlash against them. So we never thought really that it would sort of have any sustained life. But here we are almost 30 years after the off-Broadway premiere, and it's getting done consistently.
Have you had to update the script for cultural references?
Surprisingly, not too much, because pageants are so, the form is so established, and they are kind of timeless. The one thing we do update is we select five audience members to be judges, and we introduce them with fake celebrity bios. So those we do keep more up to date.
And when you go back and rewrite that, I mean, your stuff, Samuel French probably has this, right?
Yes.
Okay, so when you go rewrite it, do you have to rewrite the entire thing and then submit it, or can you make changes as you go along and just let Samuel French know about it later?
When I'm directing it, I make changes just shamelessly, and I don't necessarily run them by Samuel French. And sometimes I make changes that are specific to the situation. Like I made one last night. I changed a joke that was Iowa specific. So Samuel French just updated. They published the show originally 25 years ago, and we just updated it with a new version that they've published.
When you write a book or a show, do you write it out as a novelist and then pull out the dialogue later and add the scenery, or do you write it, you know, John says this, Bill says this, whatever?
No, I do write it as dialogue, but I don't typically outline, and I only write musicals. I've written 14, or co-written, I should say, because I don't write music. I've co-written 14 full-length musicals and 2 one-acts, and I have to find my way into a musical musically. So we tend to start writing songs for moments that speak to us musically, and it's not the most efficient way to write because I don't do an outline. I then structure the show around the songs, and what happens usually is we end up cutting a lot of songs or rewriting the moment a lot. Like, I'll write 5 different versions of an opening number ultimately, because as you progress, you find you need to set things up in the opening that are going to happen later.
And when you say you don't write music, but you, when you're writing the lyrics, do you have the sound in your head that, and then you find somebody that can write music and say, hey, give me something that sounds like bump, 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 or something like that? How does that process work?
Well, oddly enough, the composers I work with all prefer the lyric first, and that's somewhat unusual. I was talking to Stephen Schwartz, who wrote Wicked and Godspell and Pippin, about that, and he said, well, that's just wrong. And well, Stephen, it may be wrong, but that's how we do it. So I am musical, and I studied piano. I was in choir. I was in band. I read music better than Henry Krieger, with whom I've written 4 shows. He's the composer of Dreamgirls and our show Sideshow. He doesn't read music at all. He totally plays by ear. So because I write the lyric first, I think the rhythms of the songs are set by what I do when I write the lyrics. Now, with Henry, for instance, he lives downtown. I live uptown in New York City. And I'll spend the morning working on a lyric, typically not a full song. I'll maybe write a verse and a chorus. I take it down to his apartment in the afternoon. He doesn't look at it. We will have discussed what the moment is and who's singing it, and maybe what the feel is, but not always. And when I'm writing the lyric just by myself, I do sing it to myself. I just make up a melody just to see how the words come out of my mouth, because it's not just about what the words mean, it's about how they sound and how they sing. But I never share that melody or whatever with the composer. In Henry's case, I take it down, I give it to him, he puts it on the piano, not looking at it, puts his keys on the keyboard, looks up, and starts reading and playing at the same time. And I would say 60% of the time, what comes out of his fingers at that moment defines what that song will be.
I'm chatting with Bill Russell. He's a Tony-nominated playwright, lyricist, librettist, all of the above, and he is in town to direct the musical that he co-wrote, Pageant. It's going to be at Lamb Arts Theater. It is June 7th through the 22nd. Call and get your tickets. We'll give you the phone number here at the end. Something I've always wondered about when we hear about playwrights, you co-write these books. I hear about starving actors in New York City. I never hear about starving playwrights. You weren't successful nobody's successful when they first start out. So you had to have had some down years where you're working your tail off and not making anything go. Did you have that experience?
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, off and on throughout my career, I think I always tell young actors, if they really want to try and go professional, you have to assess your skills and what survival gigs you can find. For me, I'm a very fast typist, and in New York City, that led to me, I've had many interesting typing jobs, like typing movie scripts on set and things. But mainly I supported myself temping at large law firms, because in New York City, there are these very large law firms that operate 24/7 because they're doing deals in Japan or Mexico or wherever. And they all have word processing pools that run 24 hours a day. They pay really well. But I was a floating secretary, covering secretaries who were out on vacation or ill. And oftentimes, usually they work for 2 attorneys, and oftentimes the attorneys don't want to go through training them with all their peculiarities in how they handle stuff. So when you're a temp, they pretty much leave you alone. And I wrote many shows at law firm desks and made lots of copies of the scripts.
Let's talk about Sideshow, because that's the one you were Tony nominated for.
Yes.
That was a show. It was another reboot, right? When it was a revival musical when you were nominated, right?
No, I was nominated for the original.
Okay, but it was rebooted, and then they did the soundtrack, right?
Well, both productions had recordings, yes.
I got some crappy research here, don't I? But
No.
So when they record the soundtrack of your show, that has to be an amazing moment for you, who's as people are able to put that CD in their car and listen to it or download an MP3. What's going through your mind as this is the lines that you wrote are now out there for everybody?
Oh, it's amazing. It's an amazing experience. And just to have my shows done all over the world and the response that they get is unbelievably gratifying. I mean, wow.
A show opens in, like, Sideshow on Broadway. It's mm-hmm. did they go through West End first?
It depends. Sideshow actually hasn't been on the West End. It opened in London. It had its London premiere only 2 years ago, but that was off West End.
Are there certain shows that would make it in the United States and not overseas somewhere just because the concepts are something that culturally they wouldn't get?
Oh, yes. I mean, pageant. A lot of people want to do it in Sweden or Israel or wherever, and they want to change it to be Swedish areas, but the whole show is structured with American stereotypes because the contestants are from different regions. So, for instance, Miss Deep South, for her talent presentation, is a ventriloquist, and she does a medley of Stephen Foster songs. Well, to do that in Sweden, it means nothing. You know, they don't know Stephen Foster. And so we always say, no, if you want to do it in a foreign country, you have to keep it set in America. And I've directed it 3 times now in London, and that works very well over there because they're so familiar with American film and television that they're aware of these regional stereotypes.
We go to Lamb Theater here in town, and we see some amazing acting. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's like that at regional theaters around the United States, but
Absolutely.
Lamb happens to be a gem.
Yes.
Do you see that the people in these regional theaters, the actors, the directors, the people who run the theaters, I mean, they could be doing this professionally, full-time, in a bigger market, but yet just for whatever reason, for region, for family, whatever, they're in that region, and you really can't tell a qualitative difference?
Completely. I am not in any way a chauvinist thinking that the only talent is in New York or LA. Everywhere I go, there are incredibly talented people. And for whatever reason, like you said, their personal lives, whatever, they or just being really smart and deciding, no, that I can't deal with a professional theater career because it is really challenging. But they are very talented and it's wonderful that they keep active.
Living in New York City, I've had people that live in L.A. who are in the entertainment industry tell me that once they're out of it, they want to get the heck out of L.A. Would New York be the same thing, that if you weren't working there, it's not a great place to live in Manhattan?
I love Manhattan. I have lived there 40 years now, and I have never had the thought that I wanted to live somewhere else. And I've been pretty much everywhere and spent considerable time in several cities. So, no, I even if I weren't working anymore in the theater, I would want to be in New York.
If you look back at some of the early stuff you wrote, and can you tell a difference of how you've matured just as a human being in your writing and the concepts that you have just because of life that you've lived?
Oh, absolutely. Sure. But it's surprising how some themes that appeared very early in my earliest writing have continued to occur in the later work.
And then can you write plays that are just, it's like a tree falling in the forest, nobody wants them? I mean, does that happen for playwrights? Not you necessarily, but does it happen for playwrights that they're writing and writing?
Oh, of course. You know, I as I said, have written 14 full-length musicals and 2 one-acts, and they have all been produced. Now, some of them produced for a short time, but I feel very blessed that way. But I know a lot of writers have stuff that has never seen the light of stage.
And is that just luck or hard work, or what's the difference between you and them?
I do think it's partly luck, definitely. I don't know. I've just always met the right people at the right time who were interested in what I was doing and supportive of it.
And then is it kind of just an awareness of what else is out there too? I mean, you wouldn't want to write a musical about Hamilton now because Hamilton's right. taken.
Right, but it's surprising how in the zeitgeist, it seems like the same ideas come up to the same people at the same time. So, and musicals take a long time, so you can't predict that, really.
And then a lot of we've seen a lot of your stuff on off-Broadway theaters, and right. I think that's a really untapped gem for people outside of New York that they don't even think about going to. I look in the New York Times on Sunday, and there's tons of musicals and plays that are off-Broadway that look great, but for whatever reason, they're more appropriate for that venue.
Well, you know, it's all about economics union contracts. The only difference between off-Broadway and Broadway is the size of the theater. The quality of the work, I think, is usually pretty equal because you're still drawing from the whole New York talent pool of actors and designers and directors. I don't think there's much difference usually.
You lived in New York, you said, for 4 decades now. Mm-hmm. Broadway really saved New York in the late 70s, early 80s, didn't it?
Right, although it was, in the mid-80s, for instance, Andrew Lloyd Webber's Sunset Boulevard opened, I guess that was more the mid-90s, but there were two musicals nominated for Best Musical that year, Sunset Boulevard and Smokey Joe's Cafe. And now, this season, I think there's 11 or 12, you know? So it does go in cycles, and that was a hard period, but you're right. The theater, Broadway and off-Broadway are huge economic engines in New York City. They collectively draw more audience members than all of the sports teams combined.
Well, and I've known people that have gone out there and complained about the price of Broadway tickets, but
yes,
these theaters are full.
I mean, yes.
So apparently it's not prohibitive. It's somebody's going to them, right?
Well, supply and demand. I mean, Hamilton, you know, you still can't get a ticket. It's been on Broadway for 4 years now, and it's really hard, and people spend a lot of money.
Have you seen it?
6 times. But I'm very well connected to that show, so I get orchestra seats at regular prices as opposed to the $850 they charge for premium seats there.
Well, if you ever hit a lull, you'd have a cottage industry of scalping those things, right?
Well, I've arranged quite a few tickets for people, I have to say.
All right. Let's see. The musical is called Pageant, the musical we're actually talking about here. It's at Lam Arts. It's running June 7th through the 22nd over there at 417 Market Street. Call and get your tickets. You can go on and get your tickets. Call 712-255-9536. The box office is open daily, Monday through Friday from 2 until 5. Tickets are only $25 for adults and $13 for students, which is just fantastic, and $19 for seniors, which I know a lot of people who are, what do you consider a senior now? It's 62. Okay, so it's different every place else. I got an AARP mailing in the mail the other day. So, but anyway, call and get tickets to it. You can see Bill Russell directing this musical, and it's just going to be a fantastic show. Everything they do at Lam is great. Bill, it's absolutely a pleasure talking to you and having you back in town here for a little bit to share your talents with not only the people at Lam, but now with the community in general as they see your work.
It's great to be here.
All right, and we'll be back with more on Good Morning Siouxland right here on KSCJ.